Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Michael K. Show.
Did you drive past the White House?
It was in the distance. I don't know what the mall is, Peter. There's like a big circular kind of park that's and you can see the White House from the distance. It's right
DuPont
next
Circle?
To the...
DuPont Circle?
Right
near the arena?
Not that close to the arena. I'm trying to think
so
of...
So it wasn't DuPont Circle?
Not the Lincoln Memorial. It's the...
Jefferson Memorial?
No.
Washington Monument?
Yes. Right by the Washington Monument.
Couldn't come up with Washington.
Well, yeah, so that's a tough one. That's a tough one to not come up with.
Mangy, Michael. Mangy. Sometimes you get it, you're at a loss.
Mangy.
Wow, he could. The Washington Monument.
Yeah, it's. Listen,
I was by a lot of monuments. I was flying around.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
That's gonna go down in the book. When they write the book about the show, that's gonna go down in the book.
No, it's a moment in time, but.
One moment in time. But I'm going to throw out the first pitch Saturday at the Somerset Patriot game.
I saw this.
Yes, for Miriam's Heart.
How'd you get the invite?
Well, Miriam's Heart is a great organization for foster children, and my neighbor is the head of that, and she asked me if I could be the celebrity at the game on Saturday, and they're going to have me throw out the first pitch. And I've never done that at a Patriot game before, so I'm looking forward to that. And it works out with the Rangers' schedule because it was kind of dicey before the playoffs to commit to it. But, you know, once everything was freed up, and it looks like the Rangers may start on Sunday, not Saturday, it's going to work out. And it's also the same day that the local Little League is going to be honored. So Marco's going to be out on the field. I'll be able to throw the ball with him on the field. So it's going to be a big day. Hopefully the weather cooperates.
Will you throw from the rubber, and will you throw a strike?
Well, I hope to throw a strike, but I think you got to throw from the rubber, right?
Well, you should, but I mean, you're a former high school pitcher, so I don't want you bouncing the ball or throwing a Baba Booey or a 50 Cent.
I don't want that. I might throw it in the dirt.
Why?
Well, because I mean, it could happen. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm not going to do a Baba Booey or a 50 Cent. We're throwing it down the line. I think I can throw it in the vicinity, Michael, for sure.
Well,
I just saw him throwing moments ago in the hallway, whizzing it.
Yeah,
but he wasn't whizzing a baseball, and he wasn't 60 feet 6 inches away.
I was a fair distance.
It was close,
but I'm also
the hall wasn't even 60 feet.
What?
No, this is longer than 60 feet.
Yeah, are you kidding me? What do you mean? Would you
don't
can't see?
Why are you being nasty?
No, because why? Well, what? You get on me for the Washington Monument. You think that our hall's not 60 feet?
I think it's close.
You have a depth perception problem?
No,
I've got a lot
long.
Of problems, Don. I think you know that.
It's a very long hallway.
You think that, like, 60 feet, it's way more than 60 feet, is what you're saying?
No, but it's...
All right, so then pipe down, both of you.
No, you know, I'm going to go out and measure.
You got something? You going to walk it? All right, he'll be back.
No. Do it after one break.
It's too late. He's gone.
Are you kidding me?
He just walked out. Doors closed. Wait, hold on, listen.
I'm curious to see how this is going to happen, to be honest.
He's going
to
walk it with feet. Old school. So you're going to see it.
But he only has... His feet are only 10 and a half inches long. Mine are 13. That you can actually walk at all.
Well, I think we can...
Tom brings out the great point. He's not walking foot against foot.
What's he doing? How are you not walking foot against foot?
His feet were a little spread apart there.
So he's saying... So that'll make up, Michael, for the extra distance. And then some. If what you're saying is true.
Wow. What a bad choice by him to do that right now.
Why? It's going to take him 15 seconds. You and I can't handle the show?
It's 5:04. People just got in their car from work. Where's Don? Oh, he's chasing off 60 feet.
Don't you think that's exactly what they expect from Don on any given day?
No.
Come on. Let's just talk Knickerbocker basketball, shall we?
You know, I was looking at the Knick roster. So we're complaining that they've gone with 7. So here are the guys that I think they could use. Alec Burks, and he's been awful. Burks has been awful. Jericho Sims, who has played well when he's played. But again, you're looking at a guy like Precious Achiuwa, who's playing the same position as Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein. So it's almost a redundant depth. So they're not really giving Josh Hart a blow. They're not really giving DiVincenzo a blow. They're just not. They're not those players. So those players have to play all the time because there is nobody. There isn't anybody that can give them any kind of relief. The way the roster is, they can't. Bogdanovich was that guy. He's hurt. Burks is that guy. He can't play. So if they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to go with 7 or 8 people. Don, the final total.
I got to do this because it came out 55 feet. That's impossible. It's impossible.
It's not impossible.
I heard you weren't even walking exactly foot to foot, though.
Yeah, I ended up doing it foot to foot.
No space between feet.
Maybe a half an inch.
Half an inch throughout the whole hallway. How much of that up to, John?
55.
No, that means that you were if you're adding too much space between feet, your count's going to be too low.
But I've pitched. There's no way from wall to wall that's the length.
No, what I would like right now, if you feel like it's within yourself, I'd like a really hearty apology.
For what?
For laughing at me.
Because it's not right. There's no way that's 55 feet, Michael. I've pitched. That's not the distance.
Hey, you're Mr. Stanley Steamer or whatever the people that make the measurement sticks. You just measured 55.
Yeah.
Stanley Steamer, huh?
But I need
Stanley
a more accurate
also makes
way.
Those tape measures.
Got it. Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Stanley I had no
makes
idea.
Tape measures.
I had no idea. So I thought
those
would be fun.
They make those water coolers now that every kid has to have in school.
Already people are getting on me that I'm throwing out the first pitch at the AA Yankees.
You know what? That's where Spencer Jones plays. Don't you worry about it.
No, but the fact is that because I'm not a Yankee fan, I shouldn't be out there. Give me a break.
You know what? That's an excellent point.
It's not
by
an
people.
Excellent point.
It is an excellent because you still think that they're an independent team.
They're not.
They're affiliated with the Yankees.
I know that, but I was a fan. I was going when they were independent. What am I supposed to just draw? What am I, some kind of clown?
Yeah.
Oh, no,
well,
they're affiliated with the Yankees.
You said you don't like the Yankees. Don't,
I don't.
That's what you said.
But
so why would you throw out a pitch for their...
Because I like the Somerset Patriots.
For all the Somerset Patriot people, you should rescind...
You know, real nice when it's a charity event, you punk.
Oh, no!
Right?
Sorry, you don't
it's
like
about Miriam's
Yankees.
Heart. I'm there for Miriam's heart. I'm there for people. I'm there for the Somerset Patriot organization. All of a sudden, the Yankees. Stop it. You stop yourself. This is why people don't like the Yankees, for people like you.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? People love the Yankees.
Yeah. And there's people that hate the Yankees, and the people that do, it's because of you.
Now, by the way, though, I mean, it's such a bad argument that he shouldn't like the local team because they're a Yankee affiliate. Who cares?
Because they are the Yankees. They're double-A Yankees.
But who cares about double-A? The results mean nothing.
One of the guys on that team is going to be a future star for the Yankees. Hey, so once he takes off the Somerset uniform, he's not going to be liked by Don anymore?
Don doesn't sit around going, oh, my God, I hope the Patriots win tonight.
Right.
He's eating a hot dog, and he's watching the
game.
Just
joining baseball. I'm supporting baseball. I'd like to see him win. But you think I go home if they blow like a 6-run lead in the ninth, like crippled emotionally?
So why can't you support the Yankees? That's a baseball team. Support baseball.
This is
because I work on this show and you irritate me.
There it is.
John Winthrop, our pinhead.
Here we go.
He just texted us. I'm thinking the studio dimension 60 feet is probably about right for that hallway.
Again. I have the actual number.
Oh, we have the actual number.
You have the actual number.
Shout
what
out
is
to Rodney
it?
Because the ceiling tiles are 2 feet each.
Right.
And that means we have a with the 32.5 ceiling tiles that are there, it's a 65-foot.
There you go. So apologize, Mike.
No, I'm not apologizing because of the fact you guys laughed at me like it was 80 feet.
Well, because you laugh at me.
I didn't laugh at you then.
No, but you laugh at me because it took me a second to come up with the Washington Monument, and then like because I'm the yo-yo.
Peter laughed at you too. Why are you getting on me?
Because Peter does it in fun.
Thank you.
I
do it with hate.
You do it to keep score. To just let everybody know whose show it is and who's the smarter guy. Just in case.
It's your show as much as my show. I am the smarter guy, but it's your show just as much as mine.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything? This isn't a quiz show.
You're the one who brought it up, not me.
Let's
relax.
Yeah. I don't like when mom and dad fight this way. And
who are you?
And by the way, this is a holy day. The day after an epic Knicks collapse. We got to move on.
Like, holy bleep, that's what it is.
Yeah. They're going to be okay.
They lost.
I don't know if they're going to be okay.
I think they're going to be okay.
Why do you say that, Peter? You don't know if they're going to be okay.
Because, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to win tomorrow. And then you're going to go home for a game seven on Saturday night. And every fan is going to have their heart in their throat praying that this team can win. And if somehow you get out to a bad start, you're down 10 points in the first quarter, the air comes out of the building, and all of a sudden you're going, oh my God, are we not going to win this series? It's just, it's scary. We can't lie. It's scary.
No, listen, I get it. But you got to pay attention to what this team has been all year. There have been many times during the course of the season where they could have just said, it's not our year. You know, losing Julius Randle certainly won. Losing OG the way that they did right after the trade to go 15-1, they lose him. And what did this team do? Not only get off the mat, they finish as the two seed. As if none of that ever happened. So I just think there's more of a sample size of this team overcoming adversity than allowing this particular moment to derail their entire season. And this Philadelphia 76ers team deserves credit for what they were able to accomplish. But do they have it in them to now turn around and win three straight to move on to the second round? Or was this just a little blip on the radar screen? I think it's a little blip on the radar screen. Now, where I'll be with you in lockstep is if they lose tomorrow. Well, because then you have to be nervous because it's just one game and anything can happen in one game. But I still believe they're winning this series.
Now, there's a selfish part of me. I'm happy the game's at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
You're the only one.
Because I'll be home. I'll be able to get home to watch the game from Baltimore. It's an afternoon game.
9 is obnoxious.
Well, you know what? Not for me.
Well, I'm just saying it is late. And I understand what the NBA's doing because I guess the Pacers-Bucks is going to be 6:30 and they want to separate the games. But really, honestly, do you have to separate the games to that point?
Well, you don't want them going up against each other. When the Knicks went into overtime, those other two games were being played. Probably nobody watched it.
Wait, where's the game? Where's the game tomorrow? The other game tomorrow night? It's not in Milwaukee.
It's in Indiana,
and that's Indianapolis. And it's the same.
So it's still 6:30 tip because Indiana's still in the Eastern time zone. Barely, but it is.
By the way, can I say something? Those are the only two games. There's no Western Conference game tomorrow.
Stand by.
There has to be.
Well, there's a Western Conference game tonight, which we have on 98.7.
Oh, really? You can hear that right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little 9:30 action.
Oh, I love 9:30 action. So, Don, is that the full docket for tomorrow?
Clippers-Mavs tonight.
So there's no other game for tomorrow. So, you know what, though? Can I say something?
Why do you keep saying, can I say something? Just say it.
I'd like to say,
yourself.
Can I be, how about this? Another one of Michael's favorites. Can I be honest? Just have Knicks Sixers. Put the other one on NBA TV. Call it a day. Slap this thing at 8 o'clock prime time. You put some broadcasting before it. You put it after.
Well, here's
9 o'clock.
Here's the issue.
Here's the issue.
Now, I guess if it's obnoxious and it goes like 2-3 overtimes, they're going to have to start the Knicks at some point on True TV. But with them both being on TNT, there's a chance that Knick game's not going to tip off to like 9:20.
There's a chance.
Because if it's close, they're not going to want to tip the Knicks off until Pacers and Bucks are done. So, yeah, that's late, Michael. I'm sorry. That's a little late.
And honestly, I mean.
But you know what? That's what time an NBA final game would start, right? They still do that at 9. They'll be fine. They'll get a great number.
And the Knicks will be fine. Peter's the only negative one. Well, so remember that, Knick fans.
I'm the only negative one?
Yeah, Don and I believe that they're good. I'm a little nervous.
I'm nervous. I'm not. It's not negative. I think they absolutely can win tomorrow. But let's not forget, every single game of this series has been a nail biter. It's a complete toss up. They're 4-point dogs tomorrow, 3.5-point dogs, for a reason. Because the Sixers are not a bad team. They have two All Stars on their team.
Well, you know what? I'm going to download an app and I'm going to bet a lot of money on the Knicks.
Like what?
Don't you worry about it. I don't have to tell you.
Well, in the series or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
He's lying anyway.
Was it 3.5 we're hearing?
Yeah.
3.5.
Yeah.
And you love the Knicks to cover the points.
The Knicks are going to win.
Win outright.
I take them on the money line.
I don't think Michael's ever made a bet.
Yeah, he's not.
This would be your first.
Don't tell me. You make these statements, these grandiose statements that are not true. Okay.
So you've made a bet before?
Yes.
On an app?
Not on an app.
Well, that's what we're talking about, Mike. When did you make a bet? Got a buddy? Bet the Yankees win $2.
You know what?
You have? What, did you make a bet with a bookie? No way.
Yeah, when I was younger, I bet with
a guy named Fast Eddie?
You said you had no skeletons in your closet, Michael.
That's not
you
a
said
skeleton.
You could run for president.
That's a skeleton.
Well, listen, nowadays,
I mean,
it's
you
not,
look at what
was
people do now and become president. I'm fine.
No, I you know that what? I agree.
Tell
with.
Us who you're referring
but
to.
But at the time that you said that you made a bet with a bookie.
Yeah.
I find that very difficult.
I used to always bet the betting slips when I was a kid in school.
Wow.
Well, we all did that. That was nothing, right?
So, I mean, there's your skeleton, okay?
Not me.
Sparky?
You never did that? Well, maybe you're a little
betting slip. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, because I was in grammar school when it was a thing. You'd get, like, the sheet. It would have all the NFL games.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about
some college games, and then you'd give somebody $10. I don't know who eventually got the money, but somebody would get those slips. But then they were fun.
I'm glad you guys feel that way. I have concerns. Why don't we talk to... You don't want to talk to Squid Man? He's been holding on for so long.
Okay, fine. Let's do that. Squid Man and Bayonne.
Hi, guys. How are
Hello.
You?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I want to thank you for having me on your show. I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
And I just want to say God bless you and thank you for years of great insight and a lot of fun.
Oh,
I
cool.
appreciate it.
Thank you.
I didn't want to bore you, but because I wanted to talk about this one moment in the game last night, and I'll take you to that. It was when we were up by 6 finally at the end there. I think there was 30 seconds left. Am I right? Something like that. And we went to a timeout. And I'm sitting here with my wife and son because we're watching the Knicks the last 3 years. We've been watching them. We're excited about this team. And anyway, I turned to my son and my wife and I said, you know what? I don't think we're going to see Mitchell Robinson anymore. And my son says, Dad, why not? I said, well, I'm thinking you need your best foul shooters on the floor now because you're going to be fouled the moment you get the ball, the moment the Knicks get the ball. And then I see Mitchell running onto the court. And he goes, Dad, he says, there. I said, well, okay, you know, I'm wrong. But my point is, why wasn't Thibodeau thinking about putting Isaiah in? Because isn't he a better foul shooter?
Well, but you're saying at that time he should be worried about free throws when he's up by 6?
Well, because, you know, once Philly's done with getting the ball, Michael, that's what I'm saying. When we get
no,
the,
I understand you know, what you're I mean, you're making a good point, but I don't think that was forefront in his mind. It's not like it was a nip-and-tuck game, and nobody thought that was going to be a four-point shot, a four-point play. That's what made it... you know, susceptible. And they could have been playing defense offense. Mitchell Robinson's a great defender. My question is, why is he on the perimeter guarding Maxey?
Because that's not where he's a great defender.
No, he should be in the paint to get a rebound. That's what he should be doing. Then they should call a timeout. Then they bring in Hartenstein for the offensive end of it. Somebody has to explain to me why he's on the perimeter guarding Maxey. I don't get it.
It seems just like a lapse.
Let's go to Rob in Brooklyn. Rob.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
What I'm curious about is Shake Milton and why, if the Knicks picked him up, that we haven't even given him a chance at all. I mean, maybe this is a horrible take, but and maybe I missed a couple games during the season. Did he play a couple games in the season and Tibbs was like, okay, this guy is a non-starter? From what I remember, he had some offensive talent. Why not give him some burn? I feel like Spoelstra would just give him some burn, even if it was for like 5-10 minutes in one quarter, just to see what happens. What if he gets hot? He was a three-point shooter.
I think they signed him more as a project for the future, also to practice and stuff like that. They're not putting in Shake Milton in a must-win situation. They're just not. You're saying 5 minutes. You could lose a game in 5 minutes.
Well, it's too late now. But at some point in preparation for the playoffs, could he have done a better job of trying to get some players that could be viable options in the postseason? Why put himself in a situation where now you're going to try to win games with 7 players?
And also, can everybody stop? I know he's a great coach, but Spoelstra, everything he touches doesn't turn to gold. He's one of the best coaches of all time. He would make Shake Milton into a really important, you know, cog in a playoff team. They have a development program with the Heat. Maybe that's better than what the Knicks have. It's not all Mr. Spoelstra.
No, but whatever it is that there's not too many teams competing for a championship that have a 7-man rotation. That you've got 3 guys on the court for the entire game. And you don't think, Michael, that those missed foul shots had anything to do with fatigue. But the guys that missed him were the guys that were on the court the whole game. You don't think that might have something to do with missing foul shots at the end of the game?
You know, I watch a lot of the Knicks, and although his percentage is very good, I've seen Jalen Brunson miss foul shots all year.
He's an 85% shooter for the season.
Yeah, and Josh Hart's not terrible. I've seen him miss foul shots.
And listen, I can't.
Well, why can't you say it could be the pressure, Don, rather than the fatigue?
But if it's the pressure, then they've got no shot, right? I mean, this is the first round, guys. I know the Knicks aren't usually in a position to close out a team this early in the first round, and there's bigger fish to fry. But, I mean, if your knees are clanging, you know, trying to close out a team in game five of the first round, then what are we talking about here? I mean, I hope it's fatigue because there's something you could do about that. Get some rest, you know, get a longer rotation. If you're telling me that a guy that's hearing MVP chants around the league is feeling the pressure closing out a team in game five, then what? Then I am with Peter. Then it should be real world. I can't. I'd rather it be fatigue.
Than not
being clutch.
I think it's fatigue. I think it's fatigue and feeling not pressure in the sense of, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Everyone's expecting a lot from me. Pressure in terms of I literally have to do too much. There's just too much to do. And I'm curious from Knicks fans, and I'm not saying this to be argumentative. If you're a Knicks fan who is kind of chanting either literally or in your head, chanting "We want Boston," has the way the last couple of games have played out, the way yesterday played out, I should say, has that changed your feelings at all? Like, do you actually believe after watching what Brunson was forced to do yesterday and where they landed that in a 7-game series they really have enough to beat Boston?
Well, I think they want to play. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, mission accomplished.
For sure. So in that sense, you want Boston because it means you made it there. But I mean, do you really want that matchup? Is that really
no,
what you think you
not.
Could?
You want Boston to get knocked off.
Right.
This is a question I've been wondering about, and I haven't brought it up to you guys even off the air. These proud ex-Knick players who now come off as like cheerleaders, I think it's a really awkward look. Don, you've rooted for all teams in this area. Have you ever seen ex-players come back and be like cheerleaders the way they are? I understand some of them get paid by the Garden, but to me it's a weird look.
What are they trying to prove? Why would it be weird?
Well, what are they doing?
What else?
I mean, John Starks is like in the other team's face.
Well, John Starks is part of the organization, essentially. I mean, he is a Knick still, has never left.
Okay, I mean, the jumping up and down, and it's all sweet and everything, and maybe I put too much emphasis on the Yankees. Derek Jeter ain't doing that if the Yankees make the World Series again.
But Derek Jeter, you could argue, and I know I don't want to ruffle feathers, up until recently when he like developed a personality, there are Yankees fans who could argue, I wish Derek Jeter showed his Yankee dumb a bit more. He was too cool for school.
All right, so forget about the Yankees. Well, I mean,
but what's the bad look? I mean, what should these guys be doing in their older age, getting to middle age, besides being there with the team that they're identified with?
I'm just trying to see, the reason it's a really difficult comp is because these guys are like courtside, so they're like right there.
Right.
I'm just trying to think, like a former football player, like if Joe Morris is at the Super Bowl for the Giants, he's in a suite, he's not in the crowd. Even if he was in the crowd, it's so far disengaged with, you know, sitting there with 75,000 other people, or baseball 50,000. I'm just thinking like Rangers, there's plenty of former Rangers that I think root for the team, but They're in a suite,
yeah,
or they're in the Concord. Like I.
So it's just the look of basketball that they
also
put them.
And also, it's not even the Knicks. I mean, Dr. J is putting out tweets. Hey, don't let them take over our court. Show.
But why is this bad? To me, this is so fun. Like, this is, if you're a fan of the team, I'm not even joking. I mean, this may speak to my wife being a mental case. My wife teared up when they did the thing going back to the 99 Knicks and showed them all, and then showed them today, and you'd seen them sort of age, because that was the team that she rooted for as a kid. I mean, this draws in emotion. Like, there's a real... Why would you not want that?
I don't like Michael's opinion, but I can't think of a comp, though. That's what's interesting. I don't, maybe it's just because of the logistics of the buildings and all that. But like I don't know, like, well, Joe Namath openly roots for the Jets, but I don't.
Again, because you hit it on the nose, because they're sitting courtside. He's not doing it in full view of people.
But there, the one football comp that you will see is you will see them on the sidelines before games, hanging out before the game on the sideline.
Yeah.
That's common. But let's ask LT if he would do it.
All right, fine, done.
Well, there you go. That's the answer.
He would.
Now, Carl Banks works for the Giants.
Right.
I'm just trying, because you see, like, Justin Tuck at Ranger games, and even, like, Nick Mangold chugging beers and waving a towel. Like, if he's waving a towel and getting crazy for the Rangers, don't you think he would do the same thing if the Jets were playing?
I guess so. I just threw it out there. It's I've never seen it before.
But you can't, not every comp has to be Derek Jeter.
You're right. Yeah, what? And that spoils me, because the Yankees are very corporate. They're not like that team.
But can you see...
Spoils you. I would say it's the opposite.
Can
of
you see a big playoff game?
When I'm making comps of things.
But can you see a big playoff game, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Yankees and the Astros. And it's a Yankee Stadium. And sitting behind the Yankee dugout is CeCe Sabathia. You couldn't see him like waving a towel and getting pumped up for the Yankees?
Probably. But I don't think you'd see Derek do it. You wouldn't see Posada do it. Bernie, maybe. I don't think you'll see Moe do it.
Yeah, it's... But is that more their personality?
Yes.
Or would they feel like it would be embarrassing,
think,
or the Yankees would frown
would
down on that?
No, the Yankees wouldn't frown down on it. I think they probably think they're too cool for school. And that's not cool looking.
Or maybe it really comes down to this, Michael. They don't care. Right?
No, I think they care.
No, I think they care about the Yankees, but I don't. Are they living and dying what the Yankees do right now?
No, but I mean, isn't it strange? All of a sudden, Patrick Ewing, now he's living and dying with the Knicks. Now Sprewell's living, and we're going to have Sprewell tomorrow.
Yeah.
Living and dying with the Knicks. Larry Johnson now living and dying with the Knicks.
It is interesting, but I just think the atmosphere almost calls for it, right? Like, just because of where they're sitting and they're amongst the fans that are going crazy. Like, wouldn't it look odd if Patrick Ewing was just sitting there with his arms folded watching the Knicks in a big spot?
Yeah, but I don't think Patrick Ewing wasn't jumping around cheering for the team. Patrick Ewing got introduced. And then
the better cop is Starks and the ones that jump out to me are Starks and Carmelo.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is tomorrow, Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. Now, if you're headed to the game, look for the pregame party in Lot E, that's E as in Edgar, along Roosevelt Avenue near the 7 Line. Brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA. a highly approachable brew that is packed with tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even safer to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails. Available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. 1-800-919-3776. Arsenio in the car. Arsenio.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing?
Same old. It's been a while, but I kind of got frustrated listening. I cannot believe somebody called this show and asked, why is Shake Milton not playing in this series? It literally drove me crazy.
Welcome to our world, Arsenio. Yeah. Welcome to our world.
But I don't know how you guys deal with that.
I give the guy credit, though. We're talking about that the rotation's too short, and he's throwing names out. But, you know, it was a depth piece added by the Knicks, and they'd like to turn him into something more, but not this year.
But I do think it can be a criticism of the organization to say, do we need to do a better job of developing players, giving them time to where they can become a viable option in a big spot?
Well, I mean, you can't blame them for the Bogdanovich injury, and I think they miscalculated on Burks. Because if Bogdanovich doesn't get hurt, and Burks is a good shooter that he's always been, 40% from three, they don't have a depth problem. Then they're 9 or 10 deep.
Now, like I said, I know it's different sports, but it's the same thing. Like, the Rangers went out and got Chad Ruedel. He's not going to play in the best-case scenario, but God forbid they lose a couple of the defensemen, Michael. They can plug him in, and he's played, and he has experience, and he won a cup in Pittsburgh. So, like, at the trade deadline, the Rangers made sure, hey, we want to go on a long run here. We want to have depth. That way, if we have catastrophic injury, we have guys that we can plug in so we don't have to fold up shop. I mean, you could do the same in basketball, and you don't even have to make an acquisition. Just, hey, let's give some time to some of these players. Let's make sure we know what we have. Because what happens if they suffer another injury, Michael? What, are they going to fold up? They're going to be done? These guys are going to have to then play, right? So why not get them in part of the rotation in some way, shape, or form in a blowout game? They're dressed. They're there. So why can't they play? Don't you think sometimes, as much as we love Thibodeau, he does seem to get stubborn with the rotation?
That well, even not so during stubborn. The regular I don't season. He doesn't think any lead is safe, so he's not going to bring in depth pieces to let them play.
But is that forward enough thinking?
Don't
in a 20 well, point so game in March been. To say, hey, let's bring in some guys here to see what we have?
Well, it's hard to criticize him now. He finished with the second seed in the East. Let's see if it impacts them.
And we'll see. But if God forbid they lose this series, Michael, you don't think that's going to crop up in conversation and analyzing him?
And they'll say, Bogdanovich we couldn't plan for, Randall we didn't plan for, and Burks being ineffective we didn't plan for. That's what they'll say. Allen in Uniondale. Allen.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm good. Yo, Michael, man, I saw you guys. I came over. I said, what up to you? Let me sign my book at the Big East thing, the Big East one.
Yeah, I signed it, right?
Yep, you signed my book, man. You're a great guy, man. I know you played this bad role on the... You know, but you're actually...
You know what it is, Alan? Peter and Don portray me. I'm a delight.
Oh, no, but hold on, though. So I want to get into that.
Okay.
So, you know, the Knicks lost yesterday, so I don't even want to talk sports. I want to actually bring this up, though. Because, you know, in The Sopranos, right? When the two Tonys used to hang out together, remember? And, like, they used to always make fun of Chris.
Oh, yeah. That is true. Yeah.
And that's who Michael is. He's Chris. You guys get together. You guys are the two Tonys.
No, no.
You guys are the two Tonys, and you pile up on Michael, and Michael's the one by himself, and you guys do this. Oh no, it's great radio. I love it.
Listen, but it's a reverse comp. But it's a bad comp.
I do agree with Alan. There's many times when I'm driving home and I go to myself, I really feel bad for Michael. I really feel bad for the spot that he's in.
Yeah, you do. You feel.
You know what you do that you wouldn't even you when you drive home. Mm. You're thinking, you know what? I'd like to hold Michael's nose so he can't breathe anymore and dies.
Oh my God!
Just like they did to Christopher. But that's exactly what you feel.
It's a terrible comp though, because love it or hate it, Michael is Tony on this show, and that would make Don the other Tony, Steve Buscemi, right? And that makes me Christopher. So it's you choking me out to death on the side of the highway.
So what Michael is saying is...
And if you sit on Rocky, I'm Christopher, forget it.
So Michael and I are in a car driving back from some remote.
Mm-hmm.
and God forbid we get into really bad.
Oh, you're doing flips.
All right. And I make it out, and Michael's in really bad shape, like Christopher was. But instead of euthanizing him, for lack of a better phrase, because of all the drugs that was in Christopher, I see the opportunity to end it for Michael so that it could become my show. So instead of dialing 911 to try to save Michael, Michael is suggesting that I would hold his nose, kill him, mm-hmm. tell the police that he died in the accident, and then skip into work on Monday as the king of 98.7.
No, no, no. See, now you're extrapolating to something that I didn't mean to do. I just think you want me dead. Forget about how it would impact your career.
Last words for Michael.
All right, fine, Don. I'm stabbing you.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to put something out there, and I'm going to take some heat for it, but I think that was exactly the type of game that the Knicks needed. They needed a loss in a big space like that, and I'll tell you why. You have Brunson coming up on a contract year, right? You see that players like Durant, you see like you see LeBron James, you see his name escapes me from Golden State now. You see three of the best players in the last 10 years are not in the playoffs now because they played other teams. They played on teams where their supporting cast wasn't that strong, and the other teams they played had a lot of depth and kept gunning for them. Now that they know, hey, this is their ace. You have a young guy like Brunson who basically threw up the same type of shot he threw up in Miami towards the end of the game because he's gas. He has no other options. That front office has got to make it a mission to surround him with some of the best talent and mortgage your future a little bit in order to win a championship.
That's the plan. That's always been the plan. And I believe that they're ahead of schedule. And I am not going to sit here and bury the Knicks front office, which has done an unbelievable job because they lost one terrible game. If they lose this series because there's not enough talent after all the injuries, all right, we could have a discussion. The plan has always been not to make those 7 first-round draft picks. It's to put them together in a package and get a great player. That's always been the plan. That's no revelation. Let's go to Devin in Lindenhurst.
Hey, Michael. So I'm sorry, but Captain Literal Man, you got to be called out because for years you've done preaching of how you follow the law, Mr. Moral High Ground, and all these things. And then you just so nonchalantly bring up how you used to bet with a bookie, which, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong, but isn't that also illegal?
Yep. Bring it on, baby. And I didn't bet with a bookie. It's not like I had a bookie's phone number. A friend of mine had a bookie, so I would tell him, I want to bet this game. I maybe did it 2 or 3 times. So I say, if you want to throw the book at me, throw the book at me.
He throw ball hard. What team?
I'm a little shocked.
That is such a great call. Maybe point guard, actually. Like, you betting through someone's bookie is so illegal.
I did it when I was 19.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you not an adult? Were you not get charged as an adult? You do jail time. Hard time, brother.
Hard time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I would. Let's go to Bob in Virginia. Bob.
Bob!
Hey, Michael. Bob Rosati here. Hey, I'm watching these games. It's very frustrating to watch these guys that haven't gotten no hits. What is wrong with playing small ball? Pitching, hitting the ball?
You know what?
Ball?
I can't.
No,
that's you, Michael, but...
Enjoy. Don turned off the microphone.
Bob, that's not what they do. They're a home run hitting team. They hit home runs. They win. They don't. They don't. They're not a small ball team. Well, you want them to do something that they're not able to do.
Oh, God. But these guys are making millions and millions of dollars.
It doesn't matter what they make. They're not taught in the minor leagues to bunt. They're just not. Who do you want to bunt? Stanton? Judge? Soto? Who would you like to bunt? Maybe Volpe
can
bunt.
Stanton can't run.
Right,
okay,
so there
we
you
know
go.
That. And he has 4 years left on his contract. So what do you want to do with him?
I guess we have to eat it.
Bob, you watched the Knicks last night by any chance?
No, I was watching the Yankee game.
Yeah, good for you. Call another time. Talk about tone deaf on so many different levels. What are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing? First of all, even if it was a Yankee day, boring. Let's talk about bunting. Boring. Why isn't Volpe bunting? Boring. Yeah, the bunt. Bring that up in a meeting. Michael, we should talk more about the Yankees bunting.
Oh, boy.
God, you, what's the matter with you people? All right, you're not a Knicks fan. Stick your head in the oven for a day. All right? We'll go back tomorrow. I'm sure somebody won't bunt tonight.
Stick your head in. You can't stick your head in the oven for one day.
Seriously,
though.
Why?
If you do it for one day, Don,
why?
There's no next day.
I didn't say to turn it on. Well, am I wrong? Mike, am I wrong?
I mean, it's a little aggressive.
It's not that aggressive. Really? Well, on this day, let me call the Michael K.
It's
show.
It's a holy day.
On a day the Knicks blew a six-point lead with 28 seconds to go, you're going to talk about an April 30th baseball game, and the topic is bunting. You, sir, would not get on the air if I was picking the calls.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But you got a day game tomorrow. So go get lost, because you ain't getting on tomorrow. Try that.
Oh, boy.
To break the record for being on hold. Boy's ass!
I swear to sometimes, Michael, honestly,
and you should know better.
He knew what he was getting into.
He didn't said what it was. I saw Volpe and bunt.
Yeah, what were you
made you want to hit that, Michael?
What made you want to hear that?
Why don't you blame Anthony who put it up on the board?
During the break, I will.
There'll be a follow-up conversation. Michael couldn't help himself. And he knew, because Michael likes trolling himself, and he wanted to yell at the guy.
Because, you know, if it was in the middle, the Yankees blow a 7-run lead. In the ninth inning of a wild card series, and I take a phone call about why Zibanejad didn't win the faceoff, Michael would take me aside and destroy me. And you know what I'd say? You're right, Michael. I don't know what the heck I was thinking.
Michael?
Is this a rant, Peter?
No, but it's very close, and it still created some great drops for ENM, which is coming up next. Not next, but in 15 minutes. But it's important that I mention it's coming up in 15 minutes because it's a Rayro-only ENN.
Yeah, wake up, Flip.
So if you want to hear ENN...
A lot of bunting in the ENN. Unfortunately, it's not going to be on Yes. We're going to actually do a tutorial of how to bunt.
Oh, real quick, speaking of bunting, which reminds me of bunt cakes, I do want to say... I don't know if you know this, Michael. The good people of the New York Islanders sent me some glazed donuts.
I did see that yesterday. I was waiting for you to come back today, and it was just to you.
Yes, and by the way, I'd like to apologize for what I just said, as it was patently false. And tonight's game is on Prime, so ENN is televised.
Yeah. Does that mean we have Michael?
No.
No. So we lose Michael, but we keep...
Right now, it's a good thing.
Dear Peter... Enjoy these glazed donuts while you're watching our game tonight. They're specifically for you. Hope to see you at UBS Arena soon. Let's go, Islanders.
I know they made a mistake.
Well, sorry it doesn't fix the lamp. I threw them right in the garbage.
Their game will be next season.
I'm just kidding. I hate them.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass. Bob, you watched the Knicks last night by any chance?
No, I was watching the Yankee game.
Yeah, good for you. Call another time. Talk about tone deaf on so many different levels. What are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing? First of all, even if it was a Yankee day, boring. Let's talk about bunting. Boring. Why isn't Volpe bunting? Boring. Yeah, the bunt. Bring that up in a meeting. Michael, we should talk more about the Yankees bunting. God, you, what's the matter with you people? All right, you're not a Knick fan. Stick your head in the oven for a day. All right? We'll go back tomorrow. I'm sure somebody will bunt tonight.
You can't stick your head in the oven for one day.
Seriously,
Dom.
Why?
If you do it for one day, Dom, why? There's no next day.
I didn't say to turn it on. That's a late one. That never happens.
What never happened?
The point from the segment before being point guard.
Michael had
I had to knock somebody out.
What was point guard up until 5:40? Anthony, Tom,
Dick, Harry.
It was Michael we had initially as a point guard about saying that I think it was the Philly can't win three more straight games or something like that.
Yep, that was the one.
So Don loses his mind and I lose my point guard.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is, it's kind of the story of the show, isn't it?
Pretty much. Don, it's set with the Rangers. We don't know exactly when they're playing. It looks like Sunday, Hurricanes beat the Islanders. Islanders were down early. They tied the game at 3, yeah. But then the Hurricanes pulled away, and they win in 5 over the Islanders. So how does this matchup look to you?
It looks, I'm really kind of surprised. Anthony's not, but I'm kind of surprised that Vegas has Carolina as the favorite. Like, pretty significantly. Now, could that just be they want Ranger fans to bet the Rangers? But I see it in some places like +135. That is a great bet, I think. They won the President's Trophy. They won 2 of the 3 meetings in the regular season.
Should I call my bookie?
I think you should.
Get fast, Eddie.
But, listen, you know how much I respect Carolina. And this is kind of a last chance saloon for them. I don't know if that motivates a team or not, Michael. But Brendan Moore's contract is up. There's rumors he's going to go with Ron Francis to Seattle. They've got 2 or 3 significant players that are going to be unrestricted free agents that are not going to come back next season. So this might be their last hope. But I'd be really kind of curious to talk to somebody. I don't know if Joe Fortenbaugh would be in on this. Why Vegas has them as the favorite. They had them as the favorite to start. You know, this team has not been to a Stanley Cup final since 06. They went to the conference final last year and got swept by Florida. Like, why are the Rangers such a dog? I'm surprised, but I think it's going to be a classic series. I'm hearing Sunday, Michael. I'm not sure what the start time would be because there could be a few game sevens in the first round that are scheduled for Sunday. But it looks like it'll start there, and if the Knicks can take care of their business, we can have every other day going, or every day somebody playing at the Garden or a Garden team playing. But I like the Rangers' chances for sure.
Let's go to Tony in Cicero. Tone.
That's
hi,
in
NBC,
Illinois.
How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Excuse me?
Is that in Illinois?
No, it's Cicero, New York.
Okay.
Central New York.
Okay.
Well, hi, MVP. How you guys doing there?
Man, what's up, baby?
I got through. All right, I got a Would You Wednesday here for you.
All right, here we go.
Okay. If you can get $10 million dropped in your account, sight unseen, nobody ever knows about it, or would you donate $1 billion to any company, corporation, anybody you want? Which one do you do?
A corporation I wouldn't donate to. I mean,
not a corporation.
I'm sorry.
I'm like a nonprofit.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Not a corporation at all then. But, Wait, the first choice is like
$10 million into your account
or
$1 billion to a charity.
That's a tough one, man. $1 billion is moving the needle. Like, for what we think of, Michael, with the Alzheimer's stuff that you're involved in, Ronald McDonald House for me, that can do a lot of good.
I think I do the charity.
I think you have to, no?
You talk about a liar.
No, I think I do the charity.
He's calling you out, Michael.
Remember when you said that we were liars because we didn't think we'd hook up with our wife's sister? I think you're lying that you don't take 10 mil.
Well, you know why? I'm going to tell you why I'm not lying.
Go ahead.
$10 million doesn't move the needle for me, okay, Skip?
Wow.
No, that's a nice
He's lying twice. He just doubled down. He took the lie and doubled down with a lie.
But that's a nice retort,
And now we
got
to say goodbye to yes on a lie.
No, they're still with us.
Yeah, remember? Come on.
What is wrong with you?
Wake up, Peter.
Should I say it?
Say it.
There's a countdown, and the countdown comes up, and I think
the countdown was for the commercial, but you guys don't even look at that.
It's a K countdown.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.